Four Midwest Guys presents Marvel Civil War, a two-part Four Midwest Guys miniseries. Part 1, Hopes and Fears of Captain America Civil War.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Marvel Civil War miniseries. It'll be our hopes and fears of Captain America Civil War, part one of two. With me today is my brother, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Johnny Z.
Good evening, good morning, or good day to all, depending on when you're listening to this.
There you go. And his lovely wife, Stephanie.
Yes, because this is four Midwest guys and a girl.
Well, technically, it's three Midwest guys, and unfortunately, for technical reasons, due to Skype sucking ass, Mr. Rankenbauer couldn't be with us tonight.
Well, either that or due to the computer still running on Vista, and apparently that's causing some issues with
it. You mean outdated technology is causing issues?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
I'm not totally outdated yet, all right? Thank you very much.
You still have the Vista there, though. I mean, we should just like segue into like how Skype and Vista are now no longer BFFs anymore.
They are now mortal enemies. Yeah. One feels so betrayed by the other.
So does that make you Team Skype or Team Vista?
But speaking of teams, let's go around the room real quick. Aaron, Team Captain America or Team Iron Man?
I'm probably going to remain neutral on it.
Political answer.
I believe in remaining neutral. I am Team Sweden.
Team Sweden.
He's Team Sweden. He's Team Hulk. He's still on that plane flying over them.
I'm still hoping for Planet Hulk someday. Yeah. It's probably up there.
All right. Let's hope for a better answer. Johnny Z, Team Captain America, Team Iron Man.
I love both the heroes so much. And it's such... And unlike other recent superhero conflict movies, this is actually one that it's going to be like really hard to watch them fighting each other, because I love Iron Man, I love Captain America so much. But in the end, it just really comes down to the ideals. Iron Man is all for exposing the identity and making yourself accountable to the government, whereas Captain America is about protecting the identity of heroes and allowing them to still operate as they are. I mean, we've seen The Incredibles. We know that that's the better way to go. We know what happens when we champion mediocrity and allow everyone to lower the standards. So if we're going to make it about whose team we're on, I'm with the Cap.
Oh, my. Man, my goodness. That was quite the political answer. Actually, I think that was more political than Aaron's answer.
Well, it's kind of a political film in that regard. Yeah, I mean,
it's very political. In fact, I'll follow this race more than I'll follow like the GOP or the Democratic National Convention.
Trump or Hillary, at this point,
they're both uber depressing, so yes. it is
I'll
what
take
it is.
I'll take Falcon over all of these.
Falcon for president.
Right, Falcon for president. You know what? Anyone from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
In the Marvel comic universe, there is now the Loki for president comics.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So. Why not? Because if we elect Trump, we already know we're going to elect Luthor for president. So...
Well,
but staying away from politics,
yes.
Stephanie, any side you're particularly on? Hot seat, now that you're back on the team, it's time to get it out there.
Okay, so I'll say Team Captain, because I think Hawkeye is awesome. We're good.
Okay.
Pretty short and sweet, I'm sorry.
Wow. After that long drawn out, it's a nice balancing act.
I'm Team Cap because the guy's hot. We're good.
I'm just going to follow. I'm going to be the descending voice here. I'm going to actually go Team Iron Man
really? For
this
oh,
one.
Just,
yeah.
You are. He's kind of a rich, whiny baby, but, whatever.
You know what? But say what you will about him, but he makes mistakes, but at least Iron Man owns up to them. That's what I love about that character.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't all the way hate Iron Man, because every one of his movies is about how he fucks up and... how he messes up and... makes amends for it. I mean, even from the first one, if his weapons are out there, he turns himself into a weapon to destroy them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Iron Man 3 was a great example of that, because it really followed like his own personal demons and kind of issues, and it was a great example of, Robert Downey Jr. outside of, the Iron Man suit, or Tony Stark, as the character.
For me, I know it's a controversial choice, but actually really enjoyed Iron Man 3 because I like the director, Shane Black. I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and I love that he brought that sense of humor to the movies.
Yeah, but, it was a really nice change of pace for it, actually. I thought it did a lot better than some people reviewed it as.
Like that moment when after like all those like Iron Man suit parts just fly in, he's like putting like attaching his arm and taking out the last soldiers in there, and he points, he just throws his hands up, drops, and goes like, "I'm out. I don't know these guys. I just signed up here to work." And
the only complaint I have about Iron Man 3 is you more or less give Penny superpowers in it. And you never see from her again.
Oh, Pepper?
It is Pepper, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, no offense, but...
Money, it's okay.
I'm fine not seeing Gwyneth Paltrow on screen. We needed a better actress for Pepper.
No, I mean, if you want to replace the actress, that's fine, but I always thought that was kind of a cool change for the character.
It was.
Who, you know, up until that point was kind of just a random, almost sidekick-like.
All right, gentlemen, this is a Civil War Hopes and Fears, a Iron Man 3 review. However,
my bad.
Both points, well taken, very valid.
But Captain America Winter Soldier is the best of the movie series so far.
Yeah, so far, yeah, I'd agree with that, actually. So, okay, so we're just going to get right on into it. We're going to start with our impressions of the trailers and the TV spots. And, John... Your thing in the notes just says, "Why no fight villains no more?" So I'm intrigued, so go for it.
Yeah, you gotta really throw my meme face under that, where it's got like, you know, troll face with his two hands up, "Why you no fight villains no more?" I made this meme a while back where I took like the poster of Batman v Superman, I put, you know, Captain America Civil War underneath it, we got like both, you know, heroes facing each other, I got my meme guy underneath going, "Why you no fight villains no more?" I mean...
Well, they have crossbones in it.
Still, though, I mean, come on. I'm sorry, but heroes fighting against each other, to me, the only reason a hero should fight another hero is if one of the hero is actually doing something legitimately bad. Not even in a gray area, but it's kind of like that moment that... I'm going to date myself here and talk about one of my favorite moments from Quantum Leap, where there was a guy that did, like, he had, like, a Mr. Wizard science show, and he was, like, this captain of science or whatever, and he would answer, like, all this fan mail, and he would go off script, and he would talk about how he wanted, you know, the way he wanted to answer, and one of the letters said, "Who would win in a fight, you or Superman?" And he answered the best way I think any hero should. He said, "Well, for one, I would not fight Superman. Him and I are fellow heroes, and we need to join forces together to make this world a better place to live. In fact, Superman and I have actually been friends for a long time." I was like, that's what I want in my heroes. I mean, I understand that there's the gray areas and such, but, you know, I mean, and I'm sure Civil War is going to do a really good job building up to why they are fighting, as opposed to maybe other recent outings, but I don't like seeing heroes fight amongst themselves. It's almost like watching parents fight from down the hallway. It's uncomfortable.
It brings up bad memories.
Really does. It's like you don't want this. It's like two people you love that are like at ends. It's
look what I can do. Look what I can do.
Yeah, but if you look at some of the Avengers films in the past, they always fight.
Well, they quip.
Captain,
you know?
And Iron Man have always like argued and not seen
they squabble.
The same side.
They squabble.
And they
I mean, they have like
they like, you know, are bouncing off of each other, not having, you know, conjoining
but
ideas or anything like that.
But they've always had the common foe, and you know, the enemy.
Yes, they've always had the common foe, and they've always had the other team members behind them saying, "Hey, guys, let's back off a little bit. You know, let's think about what we're doing." But they have always gone at it, and I don't see how this is any different.
It's a greater extension of it, and I think I'm going to kind of disagree with John on this, whereas I actually find them fighting actually a really entertaining sort of thing. And I think it, from a plot point of wise, it's more interesting. I mean, you look at most of history, you have countries going to war with each other, neither of them really assuming they're the villains or the bad guys.
Well, except World War II, clearly.
Well, I mean, there clearly was a bad guy, but even from, you know, the Nazi standpoint, they were trying to, you know, right their country. They, in their minds, they were just. Not saying they are in reality, but in their minds.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, that's
I mean, no one really, very few people outside of, you know, comic books actually view themselves as villains. And even a lot of them in the comic books don't view themselves as villains. It's an ideological...
If they're well-written, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Unless they're
an ideological difference that causes conflict. And that's... It's almost somewhat more realistic take on it, to an extent. Well, I mean, this is something like you have a registry of superheroes versus, you know, which is kind of the main thing here, and that has consequences. That either puts people, you know, as government tools or lets them run free, depending on how you want to interpret that. And that has, you know, that's something to argue and fight about.
You know, and actually I think that's, you know, you brought up the fact, you know, being very political too, Brian. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably what, honestly, maybe that's kind of, in a nutshell, what this movie's about. I mean, what you say about, you know, being very, you know, tools of the government, I mean, essentially, registering would be very kind of pro-liberal, like increasing the government, increasing the power of the government, whereas Team Cap would be more conservative.
I'm not sure.
Maybe I even outed myself as...
I think John just called me a liberal. Oh, my God.
I honestly don't even view
cheers,
it...
Cheers, mate.
No. I don't even view it... No. Personally, I wouldn't even view it on the right and left spectrum as much as I would authoritarian-libertarian sort of spectrum.
Maybe, but. Yeah. I just think that... Well, what I was going to say from that was the fact that I think this is the kind of ideology clash that a generation would rather watch rather than all of these political figureheads that are going up right now. And I think that is what is going to connect at the soul. From what I got from the trailers and everything, and from what I've read about it. I mean, I try to go into a movie having only seen the trailer, not watching
even
any clips.
Getting harder than any of those.
Yeah, it's getting really hard because everybody is like, you know, throwing, like, hey, John, check out this clip. Like, they're posting it on my Facebook wall. I'm like, no, I am not watching this clip because it's part of the movie. I will watch the movie as a whole later.
I tried to have him watch a clip earlier, and he got really upset. He's like, I'm not watching this.
He's like, no, the film's coming out, I'll watch the film.
I totally understand that. I think, you know, what you got, not only do you have one trailer, two trailers, sometimes three trailers now, but you also have TV spots now. Mm-hmm. And they keep including new footage in the TV spots. Well, I'd rather them just show clips of the trailers.
Well, let's not forget, like, lately, too, like, now that the international market's booming, we've got three trailers, TV spots, international trailers.
Well, it's getting to the point where, like, with, say, Batman vs. Superman, there was, like, 11 minutes of that film that were leaked. Like, you could...
Yeah.
You actually had people pacing it all together in close to chronological order.
I think that's why I had so many fears that I did. And yeah, they were very founded by the time the movie
you're just watching
out.
It, and you're just like, wow, I feel like this is just the SparkNotes edition of this film at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I got used to, like, my first, you know, my junior, senior year in high school, my first couple years in college, like, being very used to Cliff Notes. And in a sense, that's what trailers can be, is they can be Cliff Notes.
When it's getting to this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of Cliff Notes and speaking of trailers, so what we've seen so far, what have you guys liked, what haven't you liked that you've seen in the trailer so far, if anything at all?
Honestly?
You know?
There's not been a thing I haven't liked about it. I mean, the buildup in it is intense. I mean, the fact that it's... I mean, yeah, I've sat here and I've spoken about, you know, not liking seeing heroes fight. I think what this trailer has done well is set up the fact that it does almost feel like a divorce. Mm. Like, you feel like you're watching a divorce on screen. Like, you're watching these two groups that you love.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting there, like, we find out who's on each battle line, and we're like, oh my God, why is Hawkeye fighting Black Widow? They used to be, like, fighting side by side in Budapest. I mean, now they're
funny
at
enough.
Other
it actually does address that shortly in one of the trailers.
that's great, but about, yeah, I mean, just there hasn't been a single thing in the trailers I haven't liked.
But I'm just... okay. I'm sorry. I'm new to this whole comic book world, and you know, that's fine. But
you watch the X-Men cartoon.
Why does it feel like a divorce when it's still the Avengers? Why? Because, I mean, does the group split up? I mean, I don't know what exactly happens out of this.
Well,
so I have no idea.
Well, but to be fair, I mean, this what happens in this movie as opposed to what happens in the Civil War plotline in the comics, they've been up front and said it deviates from the storyline itself.
Well, no, and that's fine, but I mean, isn't it still all the Avengers?
But it's
Hulk or Thor.
But it's beloved heroes.
Well, yeah,
right?
But
it's,
I mean, there's the argument if you put Hulk and Thor, you're just destroying planets.
Yeah.
So, it's these beloved heroes. These people you've watched on cartoons, read in the comics, gotten behind, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's cool to watch them kick each other's butts, but at the same time, you're like, I don't know who to root for. I don't know who I want to win here.
But that's okay. There's some films where you're watching, it's like, you know what? I switch sides. The villain should totally win.
Sometimes.
Scar should totally win.
Sometimes.
But here's the thing. You guys are brothers. Don't you fight?
Occasionally.
Yeah. Not as much as we used to.
All right, right. As kids. Me and my brother fought as kids. We're fine now. Mm-hmm. Of course, he lives way up in Maine, so we're good.
I would pay to see that on opening weekend. There's a difference. The fight between that brother and sister.
There's a difference between me and him wrestling as children and firing rockets at each other.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, in more cases, it was more play fighting than anything.
Right. Yeah. But still, I mean, you're taking this to the next level.
And that's why I liken it to a divorce. But, because we're watching two conflicting viewpoints, and that's what happens in a split of a marriage or a divorce.
But keep in mind, I haven't seen any of the comics or read the comics, so I have no idea what
I'm going just on. Trying to explain it to you, that you get that heart tearing mm-hmm. that he's talking about.
Don't experience that emotion watching it, so that it could just be a personal interpretation of it.
You know, and that's cool. One thing I would like to say about my wife here is, even though she hasn't read any of the comics, this woman is a devout Marvel fan, like Marvel Cinematic Universe fan. I've come home and she has been watching, like, now that Starz is repeating all the, like, the Age of Ultron and Ant-Man and all these movies, I've come home from work, like, and she's watching it on, like, an umpteenth time of seeing it. I'm like, have to watch the Week of Ultron again? Really?
Well, who knows? Maybe they'll start playing, like, the old 80s Marvel films. You can see
Power
the Duck.
I would love that. No, I do not need to see duck boobs.
No. No Howard the Duck ever.
No, no post-Jedi Lucas stuff.
But to her point for watching that, then she is the poster child for what Marvel's wanting. She is to expand the fan base.
And that's exactly what I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing so well, is they have taken the product that people aren't familiar with the comics and have made it so appealing and so much fun to be a part of, that they will immerse themselves in it without even reading the comics. I've tried to give her a comic to read. I gave her Nightfall, like the Bane series of Nightfall to read. She could not get past the Arkham Asylum issue, which was issue one. She couldn't get it past it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some
media
genres.
There's
a lot of comics that have a lot more humorous tone than Nightfall does. Like, especially on the Marvel universe.
It's just, she said... And if I'm remembering right, Steph, it's just, you said it was the way it was written. So it's just like the fact that you're watching...
I just don't get it.
Right. Like, you're watching a panel. It's like you're watching storyboards, almost. You'd rather either read the word...
I would rather watch the movie or read something without the pictures on it.
There's nothing wrong with that. So, but to get back to the trailers, I know we keep getting off sidetrack, and it's okay.
There's going to be some deviation.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's our show.
My thing... So one of the things I have from the trailers that I pulled from, and I'm wondering, is let's talk about Black Panther and let's talk about Spider-Man.
Oh,
How are they going to integrate these guys? Especially Spider-Man, who looks like he's the kid. He's the little kid.
Yeah, that is one of the things I do find really funny about the trailers. Every time I keep seeing a new clip of Spider-Man, I'm just listening like, you keep sounding younger and younger.
Well, mommy and daddy are fighting.
Exactly. He's the kid, right?
Like, he is the kid. Mommy, daddy, stop fighting.
And it's one of the weird things. Like, I think the actor is legitimately like 18 or 19 or something like that. So it's like, it makes sense why his voice is that way.
He just got bit by the spider at this point and doesn't know which side to
get
on.
I don't know. I'm not really sure how the Homecoming film that Marvel, Sony are going to have that work out. Because that's supposed to have Iron Man in it.
And by the way,
suit looks great, though.
And I got to say this. Since we're talking trailers and everything, Jesus Christ, that moment when trailer 3 dropped and Tony Stark said, okay, under ruse, and that web comes out and Spider-Man flips under, holy shit, did the internet explode when that happened.
And I tell you what, genius strategic planting.
Oh my god,
Same week as the opening of Batman versus Superman, they released
that. That is something Marvel's done really well. Every time DC releases something, they're like, oh yeah? Well, we have this actor playing this character.
Good
move, DC.
We can do one better.
Hey, guess what? We make better movies, DC Universe. Sorry.
So, let's talk about Black... We've kind of... A little bit of Spider-Man. Let's talk Black Panther. How do you think...
Red Falcon!
He seems like Black Panther's in the entire movie, where to me it feels like Spider-Man might be a mid-to-end... kind of thing, maybe.
Possibly. It's really kind of hard to make out, because you don't really know, like, when certain fight scenes are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, yeah, it seems like Black Panther is going to exist as a character outside of, like, even before he puts on the suit in this film.
And they've even actually... briefly brought him up, like in Age of Ultron.
When yeah, they about, mentioned like, Wakanda. Yeah,
and you know the
because
that
that's like the big source of vibranium in the Marvel
universe. Right, right, and okay. We know.
For, I'm sorry for
and,
the
and then,
for
Steph.
For those of us that don't know the comic book world like you three do,
oh, go ahead.
Could somebody please explain Black Panther?
Oh, Black Panther is a character who is both a superhero and the king of his own nation.
Which would be what?
Wakanda.
Wakanda.
Which is
an African nation.
Right. Essentially, it's a...
It's,
big,
it's
in right. The same way Victor Von Doom technically owns, like, or runs his own country in the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
Do you remember...
which is like an Eastern Europe sort of country. This is kind of a... Wakanda is more or less kind of a generic West Africa
it's
sort
a,
of place.
It's a created African nation. Like,
yeah.
Which, do you remember in Age of Ultron when Ultron goes to, like, Gollum to buy all the vibranium to...
Yeah.
Okay, that was one of the places they tried to go to, is where Black Panther had all the vibranium, which he's making his suit. What his suit is made out of.
His suit's is made out of
Captain
more or less... Yeah.
It's a breathable form of Captain America's shield.
Okay.
So, badass guy, who has more money than Tony Stark.
Yeah, he is pretty much like one of the richest characters in the Marvel Universe,
yeah,
right?
Which
if
I
not
think,
the top.
I think actually makes him more, you know... He has more net worth than not only Tony Stark, but also, like, Green Arrow, too. Like, maybe even more than Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, he may be the most valuable character
well, yeah, essentially
in any
he's,
comic universe.
He runs his own government, and
so
it's
you want to be his
like, when the most expensive mineral on Earth exists in his countries in droves, so...
So, if he's like that, then why is he playing second fiddle to Tony Stark?
I don't think he's, like,
I'm
playing
not sure if
second
he is or not,
fiddle, because they're giving
maybe.
Him his own standalone film, too, next year.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I hope that like goes into like a lot of his backstory because
yeah,
he's not one of the more well-known characters.
Well,
he,
and the other thing too,
like
is
he's a bit more well-known than Ant-Man, maybe.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Let me explain something. I'm in my late 30s, so when I heard the name Black Panther, you can ask my husband this. I thought somebody standing there with their fist up.
He's got
in the
fist
air.
Up in the air. He, yeah. got the Olympic gold medal, and he's kind
of turned to where the comic probably got
no
the name
idea.
From. It's probably really close to that.
That may actually be a name that you know makes people more uncomfortable than Ant-Man.
So, just to expand on that, do you guys think that the few villains that are in this movie, or the ones that are perhaps behind some of this stuff of putting our heroes against each other are actually linked to Black Panther as being villains of his that maybe show up in the movie rather
the thought
than...
hadn't crossed my mind so far because to be honest I'm not really sure if there is a big bad villain in this as
I think
much,
there is I think it's an underlying kind
like
of
big bad
shadow,
that unites them at the end
shadow
so maybe we're gonna have like another Thanos tease at the end or
well, I don't know about that but I mean I think from what I can tell it they're not really putting them out there but they're kind of they're literally like a shadow kind of force that they're going up against.
Which, if... what
which
was
is
the,
manipulating
what,
everything.
What was the name that you... was it Crossbones?
Yeah, he's yeah. He's a smaller villain, so
he's
I wouldn't...
He's a smaller villain, but if the fact that he's in it, I wonder how much they're deviating from it, so... And
it's supposedly it's not going to go very heavily into the Civil War comic.
So, okay, and spoilers for mentioning it, Brian, if you want to throw up your audio graphic here.
That's okay. spoiler alert. Spoiler alert there.
So, Andrew Will Robinson.
In the comics, that's the guy that assassinates Captain America, right?
Is it?
I've
never actually got around to reading the Civil War comic.
I believe that's the one, because that made, like, that was actually, like, front page news alongside the death of Superman. The fact that Captain America was assassinated.
Well, they've killed Captain America off, like, two times. Or, I mean, hell, then there was even the thing where Captain America was technically supposed to be frozen through the 70s and he was fighting his
own
clone.
Well, yeah, but we've already covered that in the first movie. I'm saying this is, like, death number two here for him. So, I mean, this could be, I mean...
Their way of
well,
sending him off.
Right,
possibly.
But
I mean,
they've said that they're deviating from the storyline, so I wonder how much of that's going to come into play
well,
here.
Well, yeah, but they could be
so.
Taking from other variants of, like, comic storylines. Like, I know in some of the new Marvel, they have Falcon playing, like, the new Captain America, so they could be transferring that over as well.
Well, if anything would end a Civil War, it would be Captain's death.
Yeah.
At the end, if you think about it.
Well,
well not necessarily.
Somebody
like,
would,
it might still have would, the underpinning issues
well,
that...
Yeah, they would have to deal with each other personally, but they all... It might resolve the conflict that evolves. I don't know.
So, Steph, knowing that all this stuff in the storyline comics happen, what is that a kind of a fear you might have later on for the film, seeing the assassination of the Human Torch?
And speaking of... on that note, great transition. Let's get into hopes and fears, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen. And Steph, I'll let you start with hope. What's your hopes and fears for this movie?
I'm hoping that it goes along with all the other Marvel movies that we've seen, that it is a huge blockbuster and I can't wait to see it. Obviously,
we'll find a babysitter.
Yeah, we'll try to find a babysitter. My fear is that I won't know anything of what's going on. But again, that's also a hope because I haven't read the comics. I don't know some of these people. So,
you know, has that been an issue we'll in see. Like the previous films?
Such as?
Well, like Iron Man or Ant-Man.
Well, specifically Guardians of the Galaxy.
I didn't even know there was an Ant-Man.
No, but I mean, like,
I didn't even know there was a Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, like, once you're like 10, 20 minutes in the film, has it ever been an issue? Because I feel like Marvel's done a good job of kind of allowing it for a more accessible audience.
They explain it well. They really do. They sit there and they explain it well. So it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, explain Black Panther and a couple of the other ones that for showing up. So.
Okay. Right.
Okay. That's fair. Aaron, what's your hope here, sir?
I think it'll probably be a pretty good movie. My biggest fear about it is that it hits all the notes Marvel wants to hit in all their films, and it doesn't really add too much to it. Because Marvel has done a very good job with the franchise since Disney took over. Mm-hmm. They've gotten their formula down of how they want to do things. But not all the films necessarily add to the formula they have, or they don't variant enough from it to kind of create an interesting twist on it.
You know, I wonder if that's a fear we can have for the Star Wars universe later on, since that's now a Disney
idea. Considering that
it might be another podcast.
Considering it's also going for like a movie a year sort of thing, yeah, I think that would be a fair thing to be concerned about.
Is somebody going to have Mickey Mouse ears? I'm not sure.
Well, think about it. You take one Death Star, you take the first Death Star, the second Death Star, and you put the Star Killer right underneath both of them. You do have the Mickey Mouse ears.
Hush your mouth, son. Sacrilege.
Darth Mouse.
Sacrilege. Anyway.
You may fire, we're ready!
Huh? I will kill you now. I will kill you. All right.
He just wishes he could force choke.
If I could, you'd be hearing it right now. I find your lack of faith disturbing. All right. All right, so my hopes and fears, other than John turning Star Wars into some Mickey Mouse corporation.
Disneyfication.
Oh, boy. There's a blast from a past.
There's some evil voices for you.
Sense the birchy in you, I do. Need that, you do not.
Me.
Sorry, Brian. Birchy. All right, okay, my fears, hopes, and fears would be, I'm not sure I really have much to fear, really, from all of this. I think, other than what we've already touched on a little bit, which is how they bring in Black Panther, maybe how they bring in Spider-Man, and at what point, and how they utilize that. And the only other thing, is we've already mentioned as well, is screen time, just because you have so many
heroes. Well,
this is going to
be the longest-running Marvel film, like, so far, right?
Yeah, and it has to be, though, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
Like, I mean, the only one that... Like, you'll have, like, Infinity Gauntlet or Infinity War down the line, but that's going to be part two.
It's like part one and
two. So, I mean, that will at least, you know, maybe kind of divide it up a bit, so.
Yeah, so, to me, it's, you know, I think, obviously, not only that, but Marvel, let's face it, they have a really good track record from what we've seen about how to mix, bring things in, bring people in and out. So, I have really not much to fear there either. As far as my hopes, as far as I'm concerned, sky's the limit here. Mm-hmm. I think... we're whetting our appetite for Infinity War Part 1 and 2. It's really a mini Avenger movie when you get right down to it, or an Avenger movie.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, outside of Hulk and Thor,
yeah.
This may have been the movie that Age of Ultron should have been.
Yeah, exactly.
That actually, if I can get into my hopes, do you have any more of the...
I was just going to say, so, just basically for me is... In short, I'm just looking forward to them, kind of like Aaron's fear is, I'm hoping they just add layers and increase the depth of the MCU in general. So,
and actually, going off of that myself, I mean, I hate to say it, if I had to pick like a worst Marvel Cinematic Universe film, and I use the term worst loosely, it probably would be Age of Ultron, just in the sense that...
Not the Hulk film with the poodles.
No. Well, but that wasn't a Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, that was technically brief. Yeah, that was before. Yeah,
that was. Hey, Spider-Man was a hit. Let's give a Oscar nominated director a chance.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh, she's all never poodles. Seen the two. She's never yeah. seen the two.
There's gamma radiated poodles.
No, wait. The big fight in the end is Hulk fighting a cloud. Hulk fights a cloud. But moving on,
we won't talk about that. That never happened.
That was Marvel MCU.
So yeah, that was pre Marvel. There's some dark times. And now that I've broken my wife, if anything, my fear is just. I don't want this to be an Age of Ultron, and really, that's a scant fear at best at this point, because there's never really been a letdown with the Marvel films that I've had lately, I mean, like I said, the worst for me was Age of Ultron, and I still, at some level, enjoyed it for the fact that, you know, it was fun. Yeah, but if you think about what it did, like, every other film, in some way, managed to connect, but at the same time, be a standalone film... Age of Ultron just felt like it was meant to be a connector piece. Like, it was, for anybody that ever played with Constructs, it was the little blue piece that held every bit of the structure together, but had no real purpose other than to be the connecting piece.
That's not to say it wasn't enjoyable on its own, but yeah.
No, it was enjoyable.
You are right. It's Age of Ultron is one of those films, like, it's a good connector piece, and, like, if you're watching through the entire MCU, you definitely watch for that reason.
And let's bring up
the Scarlet Witch, but yeah.
Yeah, and
it doesn't add a lot to the formula.
And let's bring up how stupid that title is. That was not an age. The Lord of the Rings... all three of the Lord of the Rings existed in one age.
No.
But this Age of Ultron was a week.
Don't go into this.
Age of Ultron was 1 week.
You don't have as many walking scenes. In Ultron's defense, you don't have as many walking scenes.
No, but you do have a Disney fan service where he sings, "I have no strings to hold me down." What did that accomplish?
In their defense, that was actually kind of creepy. I actually think it was.
But in Ant-Man, which is really good, in Ant-Man you also have one of his friends whistling, "It's a Small, Small World."
That was
freaking
hilarious.
And I gotta give credit to Ant-Man, because, let's face it, the best thing about that was the script. And Edgar Wright, God damn it, Hollywood, give Edgar Wright more scripts. That guy can fucking write.
Didn't they give him Scott Pilgrim?
Yes, he wrote and directed Scott Pilgrim, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, Ant-Man. Come on, Hollywood, how can you not see the writings on the wall? This guy is one of the best writers out there.
He was meant to helm Ant-Man, there was just creative differences.
He was smart.
Zack Snyder films, okay.
You have failed, DC. Moving on,
and Steph. They're going to get better. They will get better. Hopefully.
Fears.
Okay, so that's a different hopes and fears altogether. All right, so let's get into quick fire questions. So quick around the table.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever
hang on.
Yep.
Oh, what about Steph's hopes and fears?
Oh, that's right. I'm terribly
stupid. I started first.
Yes.
Well, you were first? Okay.
Sure.
I just want to make sure you got you got covered.
Me, him, you. We're good.
The circle is now complete.
Sorry, Craig. I went around the room pointing at everyone again, husband understood.
When I left you, I was but a master. I was just but a learner.
All right. When first we started, I had a full glass, and now it's but empty.
Yes, and the alcohol is starting to sink in. All right. What role...
Maybe I need to catch up.
What role...
You do?
We're both empty.
Yeah.
Catch up, woman. Jeez.
We are dry. All right. What role does or will Spider-Man play, and will we see Peter Parker? Yes or no, Aaron?
I'm not sure to what extent we'll see him play, just because there's so many characters in this.
Mm-hmm.
As for whether we'll see Peter Parker, I think maybe briefly, but I wouldn't expect it to be like a long played out introduction or anything.
Makes sense, Johnny.
I think if we see Peter Parker at all, it's going to be like if Sam Raimi comes in to guest direct for a day and we see like an explosion rip off half of his mask, and all of a sudden, hey, this is who it is. I pulled off my mask and now I'm... What actor's playing him this time again? Tom Holland?
Yeah,
I don't think he has many acting credits.
Is he taking over the new Spider-Man?
Yeah, there's a new Spider-Man. Whatever.
It's the third reboot.
Moving on.
Steph?
See Spider-Man movie? What roles he play? It's probably going to be really small at best.
Like Black Panther small, maybe?
Do you want to answer it for me? I'm just curious.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention that. I think it's going to be Black Panther small.
Okay. Will we see Peter Parker? maybe teeny tiny briefly for him to like to take some shots of some of the other characters.
That would be cool. Like as a journalist.
That would be so cool. Yeah, I think maybe to take some pictures here and there. Yeah. And us not know it until the very end, but
oh my god, yeah. That would be awesome if he was the photojournalist of the Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's just taking pictures for a school newspaper.
Like if Newsweek has like their Vietnam War, you know, magazine, like Peter Parker has his Civil War.
Well, he's still
magazine.
In high school in this one, so it would be for like a school thing.
Well, it might be a middle school newspaper because he keeps getting younger.
Just by the time the movie comes Great out. School.
Oh. Kindergarten, maybe. Okay.
So when Spider kids.
Now we're going to get in the spider pig now.
No, I say spider kid.
I know.
It's not my fault. Marvel actually ran with that and made spider ham.
All right. Anyway, to answer from my perspective, I think you will probably see Spider-Man maybe throughout the entire movie, maybe. I think you could see Peter Parker in the beginning. I think you could see him starting to talk to Iron Man in some way, shape, or form. And Iron Man starts to form him into Spider-Man. And he finally shows up in the middle, maybe towards the end of the movie. Okay. And he steals
Captain's... So are you saying it's Iron Man's fault that he turns into Spider-Man? That it's Iron Man's little...
No, that Iron Man
Like Iron Man's been at fault with everything.
Industry's little spider that bites him.
Here's the thing. We know Iron Man's going to be in Spider-Man Homecoming. So what better tie-in than right
now? I always assume that's kind of setting up like for Homecoming to be almost like a prequel to Civil War, though.
I think it's going to be a prequel, but I still think we're going to see a lot of interaction between him and Stark.
And I think anytime Tony Stark's involved in something, he usually is the guy that makes a mistake.
And let's not forget, in the comics, Spider-Man goes back and forth. He's kind of the guy that goes back and forth between both teams. He's at first he's Iron
Man. No wonder
Man.
Deadpool likes him. He goes both ways.
Well, I'm not even going to touch. I'm not even going to touch that web, sir.
In his defense, you said about four previous.
You did set it. I had to take it.
Boom! All right.
Here's your unicorn.
No, we're not going there.
Moving on.
All right. So anyway, next quickfire question, which really isn't quickfire. Do you think the introduction of Black Panther in this movie before a standalone is a good idea? We'll start with Johnny.
As long as they don't treat him like they treated Wonder Woman and Batman v Superman, like where he's just some person that just walks by the screen until the end. It's like, oh hey, I'm here for the fight. Great. Because he's a great character, and frankly, we need a great standalone African-American hero. I mean, we've had so many great...
What about Falcon?
Standalone. Falcon didn't get introduced in his own movie. He was introduced in Captain America. I mean, it's great that they're trying to, like, usher him in this way, but I'm sorry, after last year when we realized that both a woman and an African-American headlined the biggest movie of last year... Come on, let's be a bit more progressive.
Steph? Black. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Come on.
Go ahead, Steph.
Go.
Do you think it's a good idea? Yeah, I think... Sorry, I had to read the question.
That's all right. The alcohol's flowing.
Yeah!
I think Black Panther coming out in this movie, and because I, for one, don't even know who he is, so I think seeing him and seeing what he does will... actually help, you know, those that have no idea or haven't heard of him. And say, hey, oh, okay, there's this other character. All right, let's see what he does. And that's how his standalone movie will help us out.
I agree with that, actually, and I will actually continue that. I will say that I think it's a great idea, and I think you're going to see Marvel do what DC couldn't do with Batman versus Superman. You're going to see
a good movie?
No, well, beyond that.
Well, in Marvel's defense, they've had a lot of movies to build up to where they can kind of introduce a few characters.
But this is the first one where we really see... This is the first time we're going to see Black Panther. And I think it's going to lead in... It's going to lead to enough intrigue about what's going to happen next.
That's fair.
So, you look like you've been amoring, so I'm just going to let you finish this one.
Have
so
I been amoring?
You're finishing up to the mic, my friend.
Okay. I actually do think it's a good idea. I think Marvel's had enough time where they've set up movies, you know, slowly, one at a time, where they can have the occasional character, where they can kind of introduce them with kind of shock and awe approach, where you can show him, you know, kind of being able to take on, like, Iron Man or Captain America or Bucky, and, you know, kind of build up, like, oh, shit, that is a really badass character, and then kind of delve into the backstory more in the standalone feature.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Next one, do you think we will see the Red Hulk? Because there is that general, I forget his name now, But in the comics, same general who we've seen in the Hulk movie, the Incredible Hulk movie, does become the Red Hulk. So my question to you guys, do you think we might see the Red Hulk? And I'll let you go first.
I was actually just trying to figure out what the name of the general was off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't remember it
either. It's
alcohol.
General William Hurt.
Close enough.
William Hurt.
I actually don't think we'll see him in this one. I think if you're going to have him as a character, like, it's going to be down the line before you do anything like that. Because, to be honest, if you're going to introduce another Hulk character, you're way better off introducing, like, She-Hulk or, like, one of the other, like, kind of big bads in the Hulk universe.
Please do. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually kind of hoping for the She-Hulk as, like, a Netflix standalone sort of thing.
Oh, that was
like,
sweet.
After seeing, like, Daredevil's, like, lawyer scenes with the Punisher, I was like, I would love to see a She-Hulk standalone now.
I need to watch the Netflix.
Stephanie, I hope you like green paint. I see a lot of green paint in your future.
Well, we started last year. She was Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, okay, John, what do you think? We see a Red Hulk?
No.
That's it?
No.
No? Okay.
There. That's my answer.
Okay. Steph? Yes or no on the Red Hulk?
I don't know if I had enough alcohol to answer this. Who the fuck is the Red Hulk?
The Red Hulk is the general.
I'm sorry, is this a PG-13 show?
It is an explicit show.
Okay. No. This is like Red Dawn.
Who in the hell is the Red Hulk?
It's the comic book sequel to Red Dawn, I think.
Oh, good God. Boy, that is a horrible analogy.
I must need some more vodka.
You just want to add, like, what? Red Hulk to random films?
We should add Red Hulk to Rocky IV. That would be the best movie ever.
I saw this question on their list, and I'm like, I'm sitting here waiting for it to be my turn. Who is the Red Hulk?
Red Hulk to Rocky IV.
Red Hulk versus Rocky would have been a better Rocky V.
I must break
you. Okay, you're cut off.
Boom. I must break
you. No more alcohol for you.
Oh, no. I think we need to see Red Hulk versus Rocky. All right.
You wouldn't love to see the Rocky montage as he's trained to fight the Red Hulk.
He
gets, like, all the serum injections of the Super Soldier.
All right. I, for one, think that it is very possible we'll see a Red Hulk at the end. Because up to this point, you're going to have Thanos and the Infinity Wars to go up against Hulk, but really, there's nothing much to go up against Hulk with. So the Red Hulk was very popular.
Yeah,
it came out, so very, very popular. All right, do you think we will look at Captain America and Iron Man the same way after we see this movie? Will we see them like we see them at this very moment, Aaron?
No, but I don't know if it's going to change too heavily. Like, you're going to definitely add more to their backstory, to their character, to what kind of separates them. But depending on how it ends, you might just, kind of take that as kind of like, well, that's their differences, and if they work things out, then it'll move forward, and that'll just be kind of like a cliff note sort of thing.
Okay. John?
Honestly, I kind of hope we don't, because I think that's what's going to make this movie stand out and actually be not like Age of Ultron, is if it progresses it further and we take these characters in a new direction, which, honestly, it's almost like watching a season premiere. You know, where we need to see something that, makes us look at something and go, oh, well, I wonder where this is going.
Right.
So,
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Do you think they'll stretch it too far? Do you think they'll go outside of the characters' boundaries that...
I don't think so. I mean, based on what the Russo brothers have done with Winter Soldier, I think they know how far to go with it. Because they've found a way with Winter Soldier to take the characters, give it their own universe, and give it their own voice. So, I don't think we have too much to worry about it taking too far. But I think at the end, we're going to see these characters in a new light. And frankly, that's not a bad thing. That's what we need to do with characters after we've seen them on the screen for about 5+ years so far. I mean, let's think about it. Iron Man came out in 2008. We have been watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to see something that shakes up this universe.
Okay. That's Steph, since you're purely MCU, what do you think? Because you have this, I'm sure you have this thing in your mind who Captain America is. I'm sure you have this thing in your mind who Iron Man is. So what do you think? Do you think we're going to see that change?
For me, I mean, being an outsider to the comic book world and things like that and looking at it from just movie
perspective.
Perspective.
Yeah.
For me, Captain America looks like, you know, he's the savior of the what the U.S. should stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's everything that the U.S. should be.
Okay.
And or whatever. And then Iron Man, to me, he's Tony Stark. And for me, I feel like he's jealous of Captain America.
Oh, really?
Because of his strength and abilities and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tony has a lot of money, and he can never buy that strength. Hmm. He's not built with it. He has firepower.
Interesting.
But he can't do anything else with that.
He's got that badass suit that makes him strong, though.
Ew.
So you think Iron Man is jealous of Captain America's moral high ground sometimes?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, I think he wants to bring Captain America down a couple notches, and I don't think that'll ever happen.
Hmm.
And but to me, am I going to look at them a different way?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay. That's fair.
I think, you know, going off of what you said about, like, with Tony Stark and, you know, Steve Rogers. Yeah. Going off of, like, Steve Rogers and everything. I think the thing that makes their relationship interesting is the fact that Tony Stark's dad's who gave Captain America his abilities.
His shield.
So, yeah, I mean, I think if anything, he's had more of a connection. I mean, Captain America has had more of a connection with his dad than Tony Stark did.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, and in all honesty, you know, Tony's probably jealous of that because Steven Rogers did know his dad back in the day. But, and I guess, you know, he didn't get to really. He lost his dad when he was, what, like, in his 20s or something like that?
Earlier
than that. I think earlier. In Iron Man 2, we saw that he was making those videos for him as he was growing up. Because we saw him as a kid in his office.
Yeah, he made his first engine at 5 or something crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was young when he first taught him how to make, like, that, you know, the perfected arc structure for the Iron Man suit.
Mm-hmm. I really think that's an interesting perspective, though, on that, because really, what is Civil War? What do we know of Civil War in America? We know that the U.S. Civil War tore families apart.
Brother
it literally
brother.
Was brother versus mm-hmm. brother. So Iron Man versus, you know, Captain America.
Yeah,
makes
generational
sense.
Generational gap. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Quick round.
Indeed. All right. We kind of went over this one, so we'll just do a quick yes or no, if possible. Will Captain America survive this movie, Aaron? Yes or no?
I don't know.
Don't know?
Don't know.
Can't say one way or the other?
Nope.
Okay. John?
I don't know either, and actually that's what makes me really excited to see this, is wondering how close to the Civil War story they're going to follow.
Mm. Okay. Steph?
I almost wonder if he'll, like, you guys talk about this guy, and spoiling, you know, spoiler alert, whatever, you talk about this guy assassinating him. I almost wonder if he will willingly give up his life.
Sacrifice.
You know, sacrifice his life because he knows that if he dies or something, you know, this might end whatever
conflict
rift there is. Yeah.
For the greater good. That's very possible. I'm actually going to say yes. I think he does die at the end of this one.
Well, the question was, will he survive?
Well, he survived. No, he will not survive. Yeah. So, thank you for getting me on my own question. All right, next question.
God, being married to an English major has messed with your head, hasn't it?
Well, no, I didn't read it.
It's also the alcohol flowing through my system. Do you think having this many superheroes in one movie is going to work?
Yes.
Okay. John?
I think it will work because of the fact that it's not so many superheroes we have in a movie as it is how many supervillains we have, which makes it not work. Because if anything we've learned is that the more villains you have, the less it works.
Okay. Cool. Steph?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Fair enough.
Beautiful.
I think it's going to work, too. Again, it's Marvel. I think they'll balance it out. And it being the longest Marvel, like you pointed out, Aaron, is a good point. Okay, final quick fire question. How fractured will the Avengers be going into the Infinity Wars? Aaron?
I'm not really sure how fractured they'll be, simply because you'll have a few movies after this before we get into Infinity War. Mm-hmm. It has a chance to build it up. Or we might actually see the Avengers kind of split into two different groups, kind of facing the same larger challenge. And it's really hard to say where Marvel's going to go with that.
Okay, that's cool. John?
Frankly, I think it would be cool to have some kind of fracture going into it, because it makes the justification for dividing it into two movies that much stronger. Because we've seen the Avengers work as one unified team for two films. I mean, if they go into something and they're not all on the same page, then yeah, that would actually make something, you know, that would actually create more of a character conflict.
I agree. Steph?
How fractured will they be? Probably kind of, yeah, like the other two said, they'll be kind of split, and it'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Because if Captain America does die, that'll cause a split. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll mend the rift a little bit, but it'll still hurt those who are on his team. And if he doesn't die, then obviously there's still a split between him and Tony Stark.
Right.
You know, there's still that you know, disagreement, arguing points, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's still that rift. It will be a little bit fractured.
I actually think they're going to be the most fractured they've ever been. In Avengers 1, they were still trying to work as a team. It took Coulson's death to unite them. Mm-hmm. In Avengers 2, they were literally Captain America and Tony Stark were on two different sides as far as creating unity. Is that his name? The new guy.
Vision.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I said
unity. Unity.
Wow.
You've been listening to too many Prince albums.
I need more alcohol.
Unity, Charlie Murphy!
That wasn't Prince, that was Queen Latifah. Thank you very much.
No, I think that was Prince's album was Unity.
So I think, you know, every movie, because every movie has to be bigger, every time they've been fractured and they've had to come together last second, I think this time they're going to be the most fractured, and they're going to be facing the greatest odds this time because of it.
To add a quick question, you mentioned like how each Marvel movie, or at least in terms of the Avengers, keeps going bigger and bigger. Do you think that paints Marvel into kind of a corner in that regard, that it has to kind of keep one-upping itself in terms of like explosion size?
Well, I think the fact that they're going for Infinity War and that they've had Infinity War in mind the whole time is kind of the big chapter in the saga. I think, yeah, in some ways, yes. And I think they're going to have to be very clever in how they go forward from Infinity War. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
They're going to have to probably change everything after Infinity War and really split the team up and bring new people in order to keep going with the Avengers series. That's just my thought.
All right.
So.
Before we end this, I believe my husband owes me an apology.
Oh, yeah. The Chappelle Show sketch I was thinking of was the Rick James Unity sketch, not the Prince sketch.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Unity, Charlie Murphy. I got my Charlie Murphy sketches mixed up.
All right. So I think we've gone over this very well. So let's just get down to final thoughts. All right, Aaron, your final thoughts, sir.
I'm actually expecting this to be a pretty decent film. Marvel has all the notes, all those points it wants to hit. It has all those little quips it has in mind. Mm-hmm. And if it adds something new to the dynamic or to the formula Marvel builds up, it could really, you know, be a great film, or actually maybe even be better than Civil War in some regards.
Cool. Very cool. Stephanie, final thought.
My final thought would be I'm actually excited to go see this film. I haven't, you know, been disappointed by any Avengers film or Marvel film that I've seen, so it'll be really cool to get out to see it.
Cool. My final thought would be, I think Batman v Superman has given Marvel the shot in the arm it needs. Mm-hmm. I think we saw the lacklusterness of Age of Ultron, John pointed out.
One of the funny points to that is, like, there actually was a comment with the Russo brothers where they were talking about, like, Batman v Superman actually did kind of spur Marvel to actually greenlight Civil War.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think with that happening, I think I did find myself wanting more after that Avengers movie, after Age of Ultron. I think because of Batman versus Superman, it gave it the shot in the arm that it needed at the right time. I think, you know, Marvel had no choice. They felt threatened, and now I think that brought out their A game. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see going forward.
Well, I think that goes back to an earlier point we made, where every time DC, you know, brings something out, Marvel's just like, oh yeah, we easily top that here. Mm-hmm. Now you deal with that, DC.
Right, exactly. And I think that competition, and even though DC is off to not the greatest start in the world, they are going to get better at some point.
We hope.
But competition often breeds better product, right? And for the consumer, and for us, it would be the comic book fans or the fans of the movie genre in general.
Well, I think the competition in this case is unfortunately created Batman v Superman because that was a rush job to compete with Marvel.
I agree, but I think at some point DC is going to finally find their voice, and they're going to find their path, and they're going to find their rhythm. It's only a matter of time, as far as I'm concerned.
So if I need to get to mine, are you done with yours? Okay, go ahead.
So, and I think that, this competition, Civil War, is the first product for Marvel of that competition. And I think we're going to see, I think it's going to hit on every note, and I think it's going to hit every target. So, to me, here's to the golden age of superhero movies, and may its reign live long and prosper. Okay, John.
You do know that was Star Trek, not Star Wars, right?
Yes, I know.
My final thoughts is, honestly, after the debacle that was Batman v Superman, Marvel had to have just looked at everything from like the second weekend drop off and every other weekend since then. The audience, I mean, not so much the fact that the critics dropped it, the fact that audiences, there was a large number of audiences that just universally reviled that movie. And they probably looked at it and just went, you know what? We don't have too much to fear. Hey, well, here's Spider-Man. We're going to... Hang on. here's Spider-Man. We're going to... Here we go. We're going to be the better film. We're going to make it interesting. But, yeah. At this point, I mean, Marvel has clearly shown that they know what to do to appease the fans better than DC has. I mean, DC, from moment one with Man of Steel, was a rush job to everything. Because... The only reason they made Man of Steel was because they didn't want to lose the legal rights. Because if they didn't make a movie 7 years after Superman Returns, they would have lost the rights to make any more cinematic Superman films. Mm-hmm. And when they saw how successful The Avengers was, they went, that's it, we need to do a Justice League movie. Hey, we're going to make ties in and Man of Steel. We're going to have little teases. Hey, we're going to make Batman v Superman. The guy that, you like Man of Steel, we're going to keep the same director. Yeah, he's going to do it too. And before it's even released, yeah, he's already going to start directing Justice League. It doesn't even matter if anybody has seen the movie or not. Hey, whatever, he's still directing. And right now, that is what DC is doing wrong, is the fact that, and I don't even know if someone, I mean, for what you said about, you know, competition breeding better product, they have rush-jobbed everything, and I think Marvel is going to continue to pick up the ball, and they've done that, and I think Civil War is going to prove, hey, we can show heroes fighting so much better than you can, and we're definitely going to prove that we can make standalone films better than you guys are.
Who liked Man of Steel?
It was okay.
Very few people.
I didn't really have too much of a problem.
My wife and I hated it.
It wasn't great by any means, but it's...
Oh, it was...
It's better than Superman Returns.
I feel like it spit on Superman.
It did, and Batman v Superman was a continuation of it. But, and I hate to say it, that's the problem with Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder, if he wants to prove himself as a director, needs to get the hell away from comic books, because the only non-comic book-based movie he's done has been, let's face it, Dawn of the Dead, his first movie. Because after that, you've had 300, Watchmen. Sucker Punch may have well been a comic book film, even though that was his attempt to create a character piece. then you go straight into Man of Steel, and then Batman v Superman, now Justice League. The guy needs to get away from comic book if he wants to prove himself as a director. And he has not. And I'm sorry, he fails. All he does is create great storyboards, which are pulled from comics. I mean, I know this is supposed to be my final thoughts, but I've got so much hate for what's going on in the DC cinematic universe.
Yes, but this isn't about DC.
No,
this
it's not. I know. It's supposed to be my final thoughts on Captain America. Thank you for reminding me. Have a drink.
Sounds much fear in you.
Not much fear as the next stages, but no, it's... I think Captain America is going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Russo brothers literally created the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie with Winter Soldier. And when I heard that they were doing the next one, I was like, I'm sold. I don't care. I don't need to see a trailer. Those guys did Winter Soldier. They got him back to do the next one. Fantastic. You're bringing in more Avengers? wonderful. Oh, it's going to be a Civil War storyline? Great. I didn't need to see a trailer going in. I knew this was going to be a great movie. And, I mean, I don't have too many fears. So, I mean, my final thought is I think this is going to be the year that Marvel is literally going to hand DC its ass in the film world. And probably. They've done that because we've probably seen it. Warner Brothers has actually nixed multiple films that are, like, medium-budget films that, frankly, probably should have been made over, like, their next couple films over the next couple years. Mm. But they're continuing to go down their path of too big to fail.
Well, I think we're starting to see them right the ship now. And I also think that with DC's properties, even if WB crashes and burns, at some point DC is going to get their act together. At some point they're going to get it right.
I think a bankruptcy is going to be what gets
Well, if that's what it takes. But I mean, you can't have the iconic characters that they have and not eventually get back on track in this day and age. So. That'd be my only real... Go ahead, Aaron.
I had one point not to disagree or argue or anything. But this is actually going to be an interesting kind of case because we're actually going to see Marvel's MCU kind of competing with another Marvel property within a few weeks.
That's true.
We're going to have X-Men Age of Apocalypse coming out 2 to 3 weeks after Civil War?
Mm-hmm. Something along those lines? Very true. Well, I mean, what was it? In 2 years, 2 years ago, we had Days of Future Past coming out against, well, not just Guardians of the Galaxy, but Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And we got three of the best comic book movies ever made.
Yeah.
But hey,
Days of Future Past was like one of the best X-Men films we've seen.
It had the better Quicksilver.
But Quicksilver's dead. Oh, wait.
Yeah, and then you have the other guy from Days of Future Past who moves faster than bullets? What?
Well, for just, a speedster, like, that isn't too weird.
I mean,
generally, in a lot of the comic book universe, that would be kind of in line with a lot of speedster characters.
Yeah. Let's just face it. The Age of Ultron Quicksilver was lame.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I didn't find it nearly as enjoyable as the Days of Future Past.
No. The time in the bottom seems hilarious.
Oh, I know. Holy shit, in terms of how it was shot, it was brilliant.
In a year of, like, Birdman, The Imitation Game, and Whiplash, Days of Future Past had one of the best cinematic moments of that year, and just that scene alone.
That was my final thoughts, and we were all kind of going about stuff.
It's the final hour, more like it.
Okay.
Welcome to 4 Midwest, guys.
Indeed. Luckily, we don't have a format. All right. So, where can you find 4 Midwest, guys? Well, you can find us on iTunes.
And a girl.
Today. And another
maybe
podcast.
All
right, you can find us on iTunes.
As her husband, you should
just know. By searching, just search iTunes, the number 4 Midwest guys. You can find us on Stitcher, OneCast, just about every other app out there. We're on. Yeah. If we're not, please let me know. I'll make sure we get on there. We're on Facebook.com/ the number 4 Midwest guys. You can find us on YouTube now. We have our own YouTube channel. Just search number 4 Midwest guys. See the pattern. And you can do the same. You can find everything that we're on. I found out just by going to Google and putting in the number 4 Midwest guys. You'll find our YouTube page, our Facebook page, our Twitter account, which we have, which is at the number 4 Midwest guys, by the way. And we are now over 1,000 followers on the main page. I know Mr. Anka Bauer, who couldn't be with us due to technical difficulties tonight, but his is well over 2,500, I think, now. So please reach out to us and continue to follow us. We put all our podcasts out on every medium possible. The only thing I'd like to hear is something back. We're not getting a whole lot of feedback. We're starting to get some questions for certain podcasts, but I'd like to hear some feedback from you guys. How we're doing, what you like, what you don't like.
So, rates, reviews, questions, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
Like, subscribe, tell me when my cutoff point should be during these shows.
Tell us if we're drinking too much alcohol, like tonight, on a podcast. But
or tell us when to drink more.
When's the next round?
Yeah.
Right now, get another glass.
We got a Game of Thrones podcast now.
Yeah!
Hey!
Death and Boobies, coming up next!
All right, so Aaron, thanks for joining us tonight, sir.
Yeah, not a problem.
Johnny, thanks for joining us, sir.
Here's to Death and Boobies.
Okay.
How do I follow that?
You're his wife, boobies. You tell me.
Or death.
Hi, thanks everybody. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Steph. And for myself, B. Willie, saying we hope you enjoy the movie, and we'll talk to you afterwards on our reaction show.
Woohoo! Bye.